Matthew chapter 15, the message this morning is about Jesus, the helper of troubled hearts. And because of that, I'll have to read to you a little bit, just three passages, from all the Gospels. First of all, from Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. And behold, a Canaanitish woman came out from those borders and cried, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered her not a word. Verse 25. But she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now Mark chapter 9. Verse 16, and the Savior asked the man, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered him, Master, I brought unto thee my son, who hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever it taketh him, it dasheth him down, and he foameth, and grindeth his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, that they should cast it out. And they were not able. And he answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. Verse 21. And he asked the father, How long time is it since this hath come unto him? And he said, From a child. And oft times it hath cast him both into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now Luke 19. Verse 1, And he entered and was passing through Jericho, and behold, a man called by name Zacchaeus, and he was a chief publican, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran on before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And John chapter 20, verse 19. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Now, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and see my hand, and reach hither thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, and my God. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the comfort, along with the sorrow, that is contained in the passages that we have read this morning. We are thankful that all of them tell us about thy Son, who came from heaven. We rejoice in this. Our hearts never tire of reading those stories of Jesus. We have known them as children. They were sufficient for us then. We have taken them with us through life, and they are still sufficient for us as men. We thank you for this. But our Father, all the comfort that is contained in these portions is not the portion of all men, but it is thy desire that it should be, and it is our desire as well. You are not willing that any should perish, and it pleaseth not the Lord that the hearts of men are grieved. So, this day, you who control the balm of Gilead, we pray that this balm shall be applied to the troubled heart of all who hear. Bless us this morning, we pray. You know our sins, we confess them. We take comfort in the fact that you have promised to be faithful, to be just, to forgive and cleanse, and so we have confessed, and you have promised to do the rest. Prepare the heart and the lips, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The message all started with John chapter 20, because it had to. Usually, I'm here every Easter, but it came so early this year that I was up north in Virginia giving the Easter message. But no trouble. John chapter 21 says, 8 days later, and counting the first day of the week to the first day of the week, that is the next first day of the week, and so still I'm able to bring you a message like unto that Easter message for this reason. Not for one day only, but for 40 days, the Lord Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, from time to time, came to his disciples, seeking to comfort their hearts. Did you hear what that little one said this morning? Let not your heart be troubled. And I said I will preach from John chapter 20 about the Savior coming 8 days later to deal with the troubled heart of Thomas. But then I thought of so many troubled hearts, and I thought of our Savior helping not only those who are troubled about his resurrection, but are troubled about a great variety of things. And so instead of preaching on Jesus, the helper of doubting Thomas, I found out that Jesus was the helper of troubled hearts. And I could very easily have read to you, and I shall make mention of it, Cleopas and his companion. Their hearts were troubled as they were on the way to Emmaus, and Jesus drew nigh and helped them and their troubled hearts. All right, the message this morning is about Jesus, the helper of troubled hearts. And here is what I find, that troubled hearts exist throughout the whole world, not only among the lost, but among the saved as well. This is a snare of the devil for all of you who have trusted Christ as Savior to think that all your troubles are going to be taken away. But they are not. It seems as if troubles are the companions most of all for those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And, sad to say, it seems as if, and how strange and hard to understand, as if many times those who have not trusted Christ as Savior have not the troubles that we have. Asaph found that. He was looking out over the world in which he lived, and he saw how the unsaved, the God rejecters, had things well. And he said, I'm troubled every day. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too hard for me. So, child of God, understand that what is going through your mind now, how is it that I, who have obeyed God, trusted Christ as my Savior, should have so many troubles, and these godless individuals around whom I work, they rejected Christ, and they aren't having the troubles that I'm having. Well, just remember this. that has been happening from the beginning time. That those who have trusted God seem to have more trouble than those who have not trusted. And the Lord Jesus himself was called the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So understand that it is our portion in life not only to experience the sweet, but also to experience the bitter. But our consolation is this, that Jesus is the helper of troubled hearts, and especially the heart of those who have trusted him as Savior. He wants to help all of you who have troubled hearts, but some of you do not know it, and some of you will not acknowledge it, but you do. So think of all the troubled hearts, and think of the great variety of ways that hearts are troubled. Here is a mother. Here is a father. Here is a rich man. And here is an apostle. So you say, men, women, rich, religious? Yes. You would think that somebody would be exempt. Certainly, if you are an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be exempt from troubled hearts. No. Well, if you are a mother, Christ would have compassion on mothers and not let them have troubled hearts. Why, mothers are the ones who have the most troubled hearts. And fathers, yes, fathers also. Some fathers are tender, some are hard, but some are tender. And apostles, no, they have troubled hearts as well. So all of us have trouble. If you think, well, I'm a Christian, I'm the only one who has trouble, I tell you, you will not have to go far to find the world filled with trouble. Most of the time, you do not have to ask them. They will come and tell you about them. But if you are inquiring, you will find out. And what is the consolation is this, that Jesus was sufficient in every example I gave you to help that troubled heart. Suppose he could only help us who are religious, those who have trusted him as Savior. What help would there be for you who are lost, you Christ rejecters out there? But he helped those like Zacchaeus as well as those like Thomas, the religious and the irreligious. He is able to help them both. And what if we were able to help the poor, but not were able to help the rich? But he's able to help the rich and the poor, the religious, the irreligious, the women, the men. You say, well, he's able to help all mankind. That is why I found it compulsory to read to you at least briefly from all the Gospels. Because in all the Gospels, you have such a variety of troubles. But at the same time, in all the Gospels, you have Jesus coming to meet that troubled heart. And every heart that was troubled in the beginning was comforted at the end. So Jesus is the helper of troubled hearts. All right. First of all, let's talk about Zacchaeus for this reason. There are some who, having been rejected by society, like Zacchaeus, he was a traitor to his nation. He was one who collected taxes for a foreign government. And so he was a byword. If people wanted to think of someone who was to be despised and rejected, it would be a publican. It would be a tax collector for the nation of Rome. And yet, some people, if they're going to get rich, have to associate themselves with the powers that exist. They have to associate themselves in such a manner that they become opprobrious to their own nation. But money means ever so much to so many people, and they're quite willing to do that. So here is Zacchaeus, and he is a chief publican, and he is rich. And the point I'm bringing out here is that there are some who are rich and in a high position, and they do not realize that they have troubled hearts. But they do. And at the same time, Zacchaeus, unlike the first two examples I read to you about, Zacchaeus does not make it known that he has any troubles. He makes no appeal to the Lord Jesus Christ, but our Savior voluntarily comes to that sycamore tree and looks up and says to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. That is a remarkable thing about our Savior, that he is the helper not only of those who have existing needs and know it and cry out unto him, but he is the helper of those who do not realize that they have a need, and a helper of those who do not ask him for that help. That is the consolation for all of you who are here. You who have cared nothing about patriotism, about being faithful to your nation. The only thing you cared about is materialism, getting ahead in the world. And if you are rich enough, there are many pleasures that can be bought with riches so that you do not need the friendship of those whose race you are. And this is how it was with Zacchaeus. He was despised, so much so that when the Lord Jesus was ready to go into his house with him, they turned to one another and said, he's gone into the house of a tax collector. That's how despised this man was. But it makes no difference to the Lord Jesus. What you have done in the past, the Lord Jesus wants to help you and straighten out things for the present. And the remarkable thing is this, that you do not know that the Lord Jesus wants to help you. And he'll do everything in his power to help you, even if you do not first appeal to him. Isn't that a remarkable thing? I think if I were God, I would say they've sinned against me. They turn their backs on me now. Let them come to me. I'll make no overtures to them. You realize that not one of us would ever have been saved if that were God's attitude. If God must first wait until sinners come to him, then no sinners would ever come. The Lord Jesus knew that. That is why he found it necessary to send the Holy Spirit into the world to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Why? Because unless the Spirit of God convicted, there would be no sinners seeking the Lord. But the Lord has done that very thing. But here, as the Spirit seeks men within, so here the Lord Jesus seeks a man without. And this was a delightful surprise to Zacchaeus, that the Lord Jesus was interested in him. You know he's interested in you? You realize that? You think you're insignificant. You think you are so much of a traitor, so much of a sinner, that Jesus isn't interested in you anymore. But that's why I read to you about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, this rich, independent man, climbs up a tree because at least he's still curious. He wants to see who Jesus is. But the Lord Jesus is more interested in him than he is in Jesus. And some of you have vague ideas about Jesus, and some of you have not even that much interest and curiosity that you want to find out about Jesus. But Jesus wants you to find out about him. And whereas you might want to know just this and that about Jesus, Jesus wants you to know one particular thing about him, because it's the only thing that will heal your troubled heart. And he wants to know, you to know, that he is the Savior of sinners. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And perhaps Zacchaeus did not know he was lost, and he did not know that God had sent his Son from heaven, and he did not know that this Son from heaven came to seek and to save that which was lost. Why, the religious authorities would think that Jesus had come to seek and to save that which was well. But the Savior said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. And so Zacchaeus found this out, that Jesus was interested in him. And can you imagine a man that you didn't know walking up to a tree that you climb and looking up and saying, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. He knows you by name. Sinner, you might not know about Jesus, but Jesus knows about you. And he knows that all of the wealth that you have and whatever pleasures you have trying to make things comfortable in this life when other men have rejected you, you're trying to insulate yourself against sorrow and pain. Understand that Jesus understands and that he wants you to be saved from all of this ostracism and all of this complacency and all of this independency, and he wants you to be saved, and he wants you to know that he's interested in you, and he will save you. And the marvel is this, that the moment that the Savior called Zacchaeus' name, he said, make haste, come down, today I must abide at thy house. Immediately he came down. Now it's not always that way. You remember when Paul was reasoning with Felix of sin and righteousness and the judgment to come? You remember how when he reasoned with him, he said, come again at a more convenient season. When the Lord Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus, he said, make haste and come down. It said, he made haste and came down. For all of you who are rich, you still have a troubled heart. And there is something that Jesus comes to give you that all of those riches cannot supply. He comes to give you salvation. You might not know what you want to know about Jesus, but what he wants you to know about him is that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, today is salvation come to this house. And that is the only balm of a troubled heart from the Lord Jesus to sinners. That is his salvation. And the first thing was this that began to touch that heart, that Jesus was interested in him, that Jesus loved him, that no matter what his background had been, that no matter what men would say, Jesus was going to come into his home and do for him what he would do for any man. You realize that? Some of you here, because of your immorality, may have been cast out, rejected by society. But it doesn't matter to Jesus. I remember that Simon the Pharisee saw Jesus dealing with such a woman. That made no difference to Jesus. He was a traitor to his nation. And the nation is going to hate the Lord Jesus if he helps him. That makes no difference to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is interested in you and bringing the salvation from heaven and sweeping away from your life all of this false security and satisfaction of heart that you are seeking to gain from the world, but it is not what the world can supply. And so the Lord Jesus said, you come down. And when he came down, he said, salvation has come today. So no matter what you have, if you do not have salvation, then you do not have the thing that is most needful to your troubled heart. Some of you know not that you have troubled heart, but you do. At times, it says, in the night, there is no rest to the heart. And some of you have tried to put those things away, but the Lord Jesus is interested in you, whether you are interested in him or not. And once you find that out, let that be the next step. That is your indifference. You find out that Jesus loves you. And then Zacchaeus made haste and came down and joyfully received him into his house. It may be that some of you do not think that Jesus loves you and wants you. He does. For me to convey that to you, he loves you. He wants you. He's interested in you. It said, Zacchaeus obeyed the Savior and made haste and joyfully came down. Some of you say, Jesus is not interested in me. I say that's false, and I've shown you that it's false. So, people that are rich, people that are high in the business world, why, they have troubled hearts, and Jesus knows that. And even though they may have surrounded themselves with much, the Lord Jesus knows that there is one thing that is essential, and Jesus brings that to them. He brings salvation. Now, what is so pitiful about the two stories I read you of the father and the mother was this. The way that they cried out to the Savior, Lord, help me. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. Think of that. Here is a creature who finally is so broken that he bows before his Creator and he says, help me. This is illustrated twice in the portion that we have. And what is so remarkable about that Syrophoenician woman is this, that when the woman came to him at first and spoke to him, it said Jesus answered her not a word. But when she came and fell down and worshipped him and said, Lord, help me, then the Lord Jesus helped her. You see, here is a cry for help. And it seems as if Jesus is not going to do anything in response to that cry. But he does. Now, I want to compare that to the father who twice cried out for help. First of all, in contrast to the woman never says, help my child. The child was afflicted with a demon the same way the father's child was. But the woman said, help me. She had made the troubles of her child her own. How different from child abuse today, from abandonment, from abortion, from the world today. The Bible says that the last time there will be those without natural affection. But here is a woman who loves her child so much that she does not say, help my child. She says, help me. The love of a mother so bound up with her child that she goes to the Savior and she says, help me. But the father is a little different. At first, he says this, help us, you see, because the son is afflicted. He is in pain, but the father is in pain as well. You think that Jesus doesn't understand all of you fathers and mothers who have children that are afflicted by demons and are in the world of sin or in the world of physical sickness, that Jesus isn't aware of those things? He understands. He understands about fathers who are pained because of their children. And he understands about the children and their pain as well. And the father cries out to the Savior. He says, have compassion on us and help us if you can do anything. How great that a father and a mother would seek the blessing of the Lord for their children. Have you fathers and mothers done that? Have you? Tell me, how concerned are you about your children? Sad to say, I can sympathize with the parent, but the child has gone out into the world, and the parent said, the child has gone her way. She's made her choice. Let her go. There are some who cannot feel that way about their children. I can sympathize. They have made a choice. But there are some like unto David, who, concerning his treacherous son Absalom, could not let him go. There are some like Job, who loved their children. And there are some like this woman and like this father who love their children, even though Satan may have his hold on them. And the Lord Jesus understands. And therefore the Father expresses his grief. He says, help us. Help me because I am grieved because of this affliction of my son. And help my son because he is afflicted as well. Some are so bound up with their child that they say, help me. And others have a need that is twofold because the father requests help twice. Did you notice that? He says, first, help us. And then he says, help me. Because his need is not one, it is twofold. Concerning this woman, she never had but one need because the Lord Jesus said concerning her, he said, oh woman, great is thy faith. The woman had the love for her child. She had the need of the help of Jesus for her child. And that's the only need she had. But the father said, help her. The father, yes, he needed deliverance because his child was sick, demon-controlled. And the child needed deliverance. And he said with uncertainty, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said, if you can, All things are possible to him that believes. And the man said, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. You see? Help me. My need is not demon possession, but my need is sufficient faith to get you to do something for my child. And so the father's need was faith, and the child's need was satanic deliverance. And the Lord Jesus was able to meet both those needs. So some of you have that need. You realize that some of you have no faith that Jesus can do anything for your wandering children. You have abandoned them. They have gone into sin, and you never expect to see them again. Isn't that sad? Do you think that the father in that parable in Luke chapter 15, when his son left and went to a far country, do you think that he said to himself, he'll never come back? Do you think he ever stopped looking down that road every day, hoping that that son would come back? It said finally, when the son had reduced himself to feeding swine, and he was in rags, he came home, and it said his father saw him a great way off. Why? Because his heart had gone out to him in the far country every day. There are some things parents cannot do for children, but there are some things that parents love their children that they can do. God give us this kind of heart. The heart can go out to that child, can have faith that God in time will restore that child. And that is what Jesus did. And he said to the father, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the man cried to the Lord Jesus and said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now notice, the man was helped in a twofold way. How do I know? Because the Lord Jesus healed his child. He said, if thou canst, all things are possible. The man said, help my unbelief. Well, evidently the Lord helped it because the man then believed in such a way that the Lord Jesus could heal his child. Why don't all of your fathers who do believe say, help my unbelief that Jesus can do anything for my child. You've heard it. So long you've heard it. But so long you have waited. Well, how long do you think that father waited, looking down that road day by day, to find that the child came home? And for all of those exceptions, I leave them to God for explanation. But I say in this case, the father's son came home. And the Lord Jesus, who answered her not a word, finally, he did answer her. And the father who had not sufficient faith, he appealed to Jesus for an increase of faith. And in all these instances, at least, everything worked out well. And the child, the girl child was delivered. And the boy child was delivered. And Zacchaeus was saved. That is the important thing. That Jesus is the helper of troubled hearts. And the case of some, it is ostracism, cast out by society, having abundance of things, but no satisfaction of heart. Jesus can help that heart. And a child that is in need, Jesus can help that troubled heart. But what about Thomas? I told you that not only the unsaved, but saved as well have trouble. Just because I believe at the beginning that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, it does not mean that things shall come into my life that I find ever so difficult to explain, to accept. And some of them, even though others have told me, I say, I will not believe unless. Now, here is what I want you to know. That some who have troubled hearts, such as Cleopas and his companion, the very day that their hearts are troubled, had that heart trouble met. You see, on the day of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus draws nigh to them, as with sorrowful hearts they're walking on the road to Emmaus. The very day the Lord Jesus comes to them. But Thomas, one of the apostles, had to wait a week. Why is that? Why does Jesus come to some immediately, and others wait day after day after day? Why? Why do some parents cry to God and their prayers are answered immediately, and others cry to God and there is such a delay in their prayers? The Lord gives us all of these examples. I can only tell you this. The fact that Jesus did not help Thomas the first day does not mean that Jesus did not know of Thomas' troubled heart that first day. He did know, and he knew every hard thing that Thomas was saying about Jesus. Because Thomas did not say these things to Jesus, but to his fellow men. And the first thing that Jesus said when Thomas came in was the very words that Thomas had said. He said, "Thomas, reach hither thy finger and see my hands. Reach hither thy hand and put it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And that's all that was necessary. And so whose troubled heart is Jesus not able to help? There is no troubled heart that Jesus is not able to help. And God gives us these abundant illustrations. Come to Jesus, the helper of troubled hearts. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, let us know that there are so many things that we are unable to understand. Why, in the first place, would you let these children be satanically controlled? Why would you let these children go into a far country? Lord, if thou hast not told us, then you are God. But we do know this, that those who are in a far country, those who are satanically controlled, have come home and have been freed from Satan's power. Let us look upon that, those things that thou hast told us, the answers that thou hast given. And Lord, while Thomas has doubts in one respect, and others have doubts in other respects, let us understand that Jesus is sufficient for all these things. Let us look upon thy Son, and know of his love, of his concern. Let us understand that Jesus is the helper of troubled hearts, and Jesus will help us. In his name we pray. Amen.